Peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, to set forth His praise, to hear His holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and our salvation, and so that we may prepare ourselves in heart and mind to worship God. Let us kneel in silence and with penitent and obedient hearts confess our sins, that we may obtain forgiveness by His infinite goodness and mercy. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will, walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us all our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Lord, open our lips,
and our mouths shall proclaim your praise.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Alleluia.
Worship the Lord in beauty of holiness.
O come, let us adore him.
The eyes of the Lord are open upon the righteous, and his ears are upon their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to root out the remnants of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears them, and delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and will serve those who worship spirits and crush
many the troubles of the righteous.
But the Lord will deliver him out of them all.
He will keep safe all his bones, and not one of them shall be broken.
Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be punished. The Lord ransoms the life of his servants, and none will be perished who trust in him.
Glory to the Father, and the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Alleluia. Please be seated.
A reading from the book of Joshua. Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Now therefore revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. Now if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us out and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight. He protected us along all the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Reading from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Jesus said, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever." He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you, there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, "For this reason, I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Thanks be to God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may sit. Good morning. Can you hear me well? Yeah. All right. Good. So, eating God—that must have been a wake-up call for you. Consuming Him. There's a lot of theological pathways we could go down that are worthy pathways to address this particular passage, but that's not the one I want to go down. Let me read you a poem by James Wright, who won a Pulitzer for his collected poems. Grew up in Ohio. Actually, he grew up in Minnesota. And just an amazing poet. It's entitled "A Blessing." Just off the highway to Rochester, Minnesota, twilight bounds softly forth on the grass. In the eyes of those two Indian ponies darken with kindness. They have come gladly out of the willows to welcome my friend and me. We step over the barbed wire into the pasture where they have been grazing all day alone. They ripple tensely. They can hardly contain their happiness that we have come. They bow shyly as wet swans. They love each other. There is no loneliness like theirs. At home once more, they begin munching the young tufts of spring in the darkness. I would like to hold the slender one in my arms, for she has walked over to me and nuzzled my left hand. She is black and white, her mane falls wild on her forehead, and the light breeze moves me to caress her long ear, that is delicate as the skin over a girl's wrist. Suddenly, I realize that if I stepped out of my body, I would break into blossom. That if I stepped out of my body, I would break into blossom. What is this breaking into blossom business? I mean, we kind of know, but not sure how to explain it. We feel it. We kind of understand what he's saying, right? This poet is absorbed in the day, in the wonder of nature. And in the moment. And then for some reason, it occurs to him to write this line, "If I could step out of my body, I would break into blossom." If I could step out of the framework of the things in which I usually tend to, in the way I tend to them, something alive might come about. Mary Oliver, another American poet, sort of suggests something similar when she says, "I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention. how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I have been doing all day. How to just kind of give yourself over to another world. That's what poets do. Now, back to the scripture. If you'll recall, Jesus is ultimately saying something similar to if you could step out of your body, you would break into blossom. But if you will recall, the current situation we're in is people are in consternation and a little bit of emotional turmoil based on what Jesus just said. You know, first there's the multiplication of loaves, healing, teaching. I mean, people are in amazement around that. Then there's a certain amount of consternation about the walking on water. He was here, the disciples' boat took off. Now he's on the other side, there was only one boat. Mystery, consternation. And then he starts in on this bread of life stuff. And that being the source of life. And there's definitely some bewilderment. If you recall, I mean, yeast and bread was kind of used as a sin metaphor, but now he's kind of using it as a kingdom of God metaphor. So the people are trying to grasp what he's saying, this metaphor. And then, of course, the religious elite, they're pretty upset because he said, "I'm the bread of life." No. How can you say that? You know, we know where you live. Nothing as carnal and as local as you could be saying these things. And then and then Jesus, and I actually like how the Eugene Peterson's The Message puts it. It says, "But Jesus didn't give an inch. Only in so far as you eat and drink flesh and blood, the flesh and blood of the Son of Man, do you have life within me." So just at the moment when it would have been great if he had just sort of explained, this was hyperbole, you know, I took this metaphor to an extreme, he is somehow saying that. You must consume me. You must metabolize me. And it's like a lot of us, well, that's crazy. No. And maybe some of us here even, and I've had that where I said no. I still showed up. But internally, I'm not stepping out of my body. And I'm not breaking into that kind of blossom. That's just a little bit too much for me. There is, so we're talking about a different perspective, a different dimension. Have you ever heard the novel by Edwin Abbott entitled Flatland? He's a mathematician, and it's about a Mr. A squared who's walking along one day, and he sees a dot, and the dot turns into a circle, and then the circle shifts down to a dot, and then it vanishes. And he has this experience many times, and at one day he decides he's going to stop the dot and ask it what it is. And he does. The dot shows up, it becomes a circle, and Mr. A squared says, "No, wait. And the circle remains. He goes, "What are you?" And the circle says, "I'm a sphere. And when I touch your plane, I present myself as a dot, and as I move into your world, I become like a circle." There's a lot to the novel, and the novel actually became important because it helped to illustrate the ways in which we get trapped in our own way of knowing things. If there's anything, you know, that, I mean, Einstein did a lot, but one of the things that he kind of set the door for was that all the ways in which we think about things may not be correct. Even those things you absolutely know, without a shadow of a doubt, are correct. I cannot eat another human being. So there is no recourse other than this is a metaphor. And yet here is Jesus emphatically saying no. Many of us left, some of us stayed, but it wasn't a real enthusiastic staying. So why didn't y'all take off? You know, where else are we going to go? Somehow we've invested so much here. There's no other path. I mean, not many of us get to that point, right, in our faith. But it is about seeing. Every week, most weeks, I hang out with young men who are struggling to just kind of rebuild their lives. And there's this one young man by the name of Christian McKibben, and we meet at Mean Mug, which is a coffee shop on Main Street. Sometimes we go to All Good, but mostly we go to Mean Mug. And he was working at a welding company and had experienced what we both determined was racism. It was older white men not being able to see him for who he is. And Christian is so insightful and sensitive, the way he described the things that he sensed was going around him. It started out really well, and then he sensed something was amiss. And there was this little issue with his pants, but he pulled those things up, and he worked hard, and he wanted to prove them wrong. And they gave him a job that was meant for 5 people because they wanted him gone. And just the way he described it, and the way he described it, you know, I said, when do you know that it's time for you to leave? He just said that I just knew I could not reclaim their confidence. They thought they knew me, and they didn't, which is what's something he said. But then Christian said something super interesting. He said, because we were really talking about the ways in which white people cannot see things. And I said, how do you know that? And he said, sometimes it feels like the universe gives you special glasses. No, he wears glasses. And so we laughed at that, about being able to see into things, being able to understand invisible scenarios. Eugene Peterson, who is the translator and the pastor, the translator of The Message, he wrote a book entitled Eat This Book, A Conversation in the Art of Spiritual Reading. Christians don't simply learn or study to use Scripture, we assimilate it, take it into our lives in such a way that it gets metabolized into acts of love, cups of cold water, missions into the world, healing and evangelism and justice in Jesus' name, hands raised in adoration of the Father, feet washed in company with the Son. It's one of the many things I adore about the Eucharist is that it is like metabolizing all the teaching and the beauty of Jesus, right? When you eat food, you don't decide where it goes in your body. You don't decide, well, you know, I heard that being a vegetarian is better, so this part of my meal is going here. No, it just moves into your body knows what to do with it. And in the same way, the Eucharist, I feel, my experience has been, is like that. I don't understand it. But metabolizing the prayers and the beauty and the experiences of our life together makes us we step out of our body and something blooms. It was interesting to me that the word liturgy actually did not show up just in church settings. It actually showed up in Greek. It means community service. Liturgy. You can look it up on your phone right now. It is meant to extend beyond. And that is what I think it means to break into blossom. And I think that is what it means to be just at the end of your rope, or whatever the right way of putting it, where I do not understand what Jesus is saying, and I'm going to quit trying to use that understanding to move forward with him. The poet receives the poem. And so, much more so than they create the poem. You are both the midwife and the baby. That line from Mary Oliver comes from a poem entitled The Summer Day. And since we're in the middle of summer, I'll finish with this poem. Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean, the one who has flung herself out of the grass, the one who is eating sugar out of my hand, who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down, who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention. How to fall down into the grass, how to kneel in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I have been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? So we are asked to step outside our bodies, our usual frame of understanding, to become a beginner again, to become like a child. And I suppose my takeaway is embrace, listen, swallow, pay attention, receive our own life as we do communion, a gift that is metabolized into life filled with wonder that extends beyond this building and our own concerns. Keep at it until you can say, like the disciples, where else would I go? Amen.
God, enliven the church for its mission.
That we may be salt of the earth and light of the world.
Breathe fresh life into your people.
Give us power to reveal Christ in word and action.
Awaken in us a sense of wonder for the earth and all that is in it.
Teach us to care creatively for its resources.
Give grace to all whose lives are linked to ours, especially those on our prayer list, Jim, Russ, Chuck, J.R., Pat, John, Gail, Priscilla, Greg, Cindy, Joycey, Mary, Marianne, Kelly and Barry, Anna Mae, Pete, Kat, Paula, Margaret, Jan and Doug, Susie, Jacqueline, John and Jenny, Anka and Ginger, Kelly, Zach, Steve, Kyle, Richard, and Bonnie. God of hope and comfort, restore all who suffer in body, mind, and spirit. Who do you pray for? And James Lee. We give thanks for the blessings of this life. We remember with thanksgiving those who have died in the faith of Christ and those whose faith is known to you alone. Into your hands we commend them. Almighty God,
Almighty God, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Let us pray. O God, who art the author of peace and lover of concord, to join you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us, your humble servants, in all assaults of our enemies, that we are surely trusting in your defense, may not fear the power of any adversity. Through the might of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you stretch your arms of love on the hard wood of the cross, that everyone might come within the reach of your saving embrace. So clothe us in your spirit that we, reaching forth our hands in love, may bring those who do not know you to the knowledge of your love for the honor of your name. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, Father of all mercy, we, your unworthy servants, give you humble thanks for all the goodness and loving kindness to us and to all whom you have made. We bless you for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all, for your miserable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we pray, give us such an awareness of your mercy that with truly thankful hearts, we may show forth your praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory throughout all ages. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
May the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace in believing through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.